The latest Ken Burns documentary, Country Music, begins airing Sunday night on PBS stations around the country and locally on KPTS. KMUW's Jed Bodwin says the documentary is a worthwhile journey, even for those who don't love the genre. Fletcher Powell recently spoke with Bodwin and has more.
Eight parts, 16 hours in. What are your just first impressions of this documentary?
Good morning, Captain.
Ken Burns documentaries, in a way, are... I know people talk about it being time-consuming and so forth, but it's really something that asks you to really sit down and think about the topic and sort of plant yourself in that world for a period of time.
Burns, of course, has done documentaries certainly about the Civil War, which is the one that exploded him onto the scene. And often he takes an approach that starts more or less at the beginning. Does this come at us the same way? Do we start at the beginning of country music? And for those of us who don't know, myself included, what is that beginning?
That's interesting, because when the documentary starts, there is no such thing as country music. There are a couple of designations, one of which is folk, one of which is hillbilly music, which, of course, later people would come to see as a slam. And those origins are really a lot of times among poor Americans, Southern Americans, who were working other jobs. They happened to play a guitar, play a fiddle, and they would get together and travel around, maybe, or as radio came into play, many local radio stations were looking for, as we would say, content, and they would invite these local ensembles down to play. And so eventually what happens is there's two things going on. There's hillbilly music, and then there are things called race records. Obviously targeting the non-white world. And at some point, record companies sort of needed a way to distinguish one from the other. And so slowly over time, you begin to get these categories that split, and you get sort of race music, and then you get country music. But keep in mind, country music includes elements that are coming from those quote-unquote race records, blues, etc.
You know a lot more about country music than I do, and I've had my eyes opened as to how broad it really is, and not just musically, but also in terms of social and cultural and political views. How does that play out?
Well, I mean, there are some things that often get forgotten in country music, one of which is the impact that women had, in particular in the 1960s. You have Loretta Lynn coming out with a song, The Pill, right? And Fist City, where she's basically saying, you know, you're not going to steal my man. I'm going to stand up for my home. You know, I have agency over our relationship in this instance.
You've been making your brags around town that you've been loving my man.
It's also really easy for people to think of country music as white people's music, but in reality, the participation of African Americans, the participation of other minority groups, is a little bit bigger than what we think it is. One problem I sort of have with the country music documentary is that I don't think that Ken Burns probes that enough.
When all your loves have ended, when all your friends have flown.
Any documentary has to shape a narrative and has to give us compelling characters. Who really struck you as you watched this as popping out as being some of the more fascinating people in the history of country music?
Johnny Cash, of course. You know, I know he's sort of been mythologized.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black. Why you never see bright colors on my back.
But he is a spectacular example of somebody who really embraced social justice, different trends in country music. And a real surprise, too, is I think somebody who gets overlooked in the country music narrative is Kris Kristofferson. You know, here's a guy who, you know, went to Oxford, was in the military, started off really writing fiction, and then one day sort of shows up in Nashville and starts writing these amazing songs. And I really love how much detail some of the performers go into about his lyrics, because you realize how informed they are by classical poetry and classical themes in literature.
And there's nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound.
So for those out there, like myself, who aren't that familiar with country music and have never felt like they were terribly interested, what does this bring us that will still keep us interested as we watch a long documentary?
It follows politics. It follows culture. We go from this time where people weren't really expecting to make money playing country music. They were playing it really on some level out of love. We go from that to the 1960s, where it's a big deal that Johnny Cash is pulling in, I think he pulled in like $97,000 at one gig, and people were sort of blown away by that, to the 1990s when it becomes a multi-billion dollar endeavor. You know, the old joke about we like both kinds of music, country and Western. But today, you have pop country. You have country that's influenced by hip-hop, neo-traditionalism, neo-bluegrass and newgrass and on and on. So it's gone from being something that was kind of binary at one point to infinite.
Well, Jed, a lot to sift through. Thanks for giving us a little look.
All right. Thank you, Fletcher.